got the help that we got to have. You don't always want somebody spoke. You spoke and commanded to. God, we want to thank you. We want to give you the praise. We want to give you the glory. Lord God, we on your mercy. We at your mercy, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We give you the glory and the praise, oh God. We say thank you. We say thank you. In Jesus' name, we want to thank you and we want to praise you right where you at, Lord God. Hallelujah, we thank you. While you're standing, open up your Bible. We're going back to Psalms 24, and then we're going to bring in a couple of others. We're going back to Psalms 24, and we're going to read that first verse there in Psalms 24. We're going to read Psalms 24 down through 5. Psalms 24, do I have Psalm 24, 1 down through 6, and then we're going to go to, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalms 50. Let us read Psalms 24, 1 down through, my foundational scripture. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek the face of, amen. Let us go to Psalms 150. Let us go to Psalm, not Psalms 150, but Psalms 50. I am sorry. Let us go to Psalm 50. God is the Creator. Let us read 50 down through 10, 50, 10 down through 12. Amen. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and all the fullness thereof. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 1. When we realize who did all of this, who did it all, let's go to Genesis 1, who did it all. Genesis 1. We're going to read just 1 and 2, Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. We're going to go to Exodus. We see in who created everything. This is what his word has said. I'm all at flesh and blood, and they are so vulnerable to what can happen to them, and we need to worship him with all of our heart. We're going to Exodus 18. And now this is what he's speaking to his people. Exodus 19, Let's go to Exodus 19. Praise the Lord. He says this, 19 and 3. 3 down through 6. Let us read. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare ye on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. You may be seated. He's speaking the same thing to us today. He's letting us know who created everything, who did it all. And as you've heard me say before, he is not God, somebody that you vote in and out of an office. That's not him. You don't vote him in or out of anything. Since he is the maker of everything, the creator of all things, and we at his mercy. We at the mercies of God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we realize that he said we can do nothing without him, every now and then something happened that shows that we can't do nothing without him. He had to speak and command the snow to cease. It would have consumed us. See, that we're flesh and blood is no match even against the climate. It's no match even against the element, not flesh and blood. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we see here where God of the universe, he's telling us just who he is in these scriptures that I've read to you. There's many scriptures that tells you who God is. He said he's letting you know, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, over here in Exodus. He said, for all the earth is mine. After he had told them, he said, if you will obey my voice, do what he say do. He said, all the earth is mine. And if it's his, he can do whatsoever he want to. It ain't no if, it is his, so when it belongs to you, you do whatsoever you want to, and guess what? The inhabitants that are on the earth, which is flesh and blood, he can do whatsoever he want to. Did you know that? That's who he is. He's Almighty God, El Shaddai, Almighty God. And one day every tongue gonna confess, every knee is going to bow. To the creator of all things, earth didn't have no form. Earth was void. There was nothing there. But when he began to speak, then everything began to fall in place. Don't you know all he got to do is speak to anything? That's all he has to do is speak to anything. And it stops. Almighty God just has to speak to it. And as the centurion told Jesus Christ, I know who you are, Jesus. You don't have to come to my house. All I know, you just need to speak. That's all. You just need to say a word. Isn't it awesome? We know somebody and serving somebody that when they say a word out of their mouth, it comes to pass. He's an awesome God. Do you know who he is? It comes to pass. When he speaks concerning anything, he said in one, in the Old Testament, he said, if my mouth spoke it, and he's still that God, if his mouth spoke it, it's going to come to pass. When his mouth say anything, it's going to come to pass. So here he tells us, he's made us. He said, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So we over here in this Old Testament, he spoke that to them in Old Testament. He hasn't changed his mind in the New Testament. Let's look at 1 Peter. He said this, since all the earth is his, he's telling them what he does for the special, what he'll do for the people that has picked up that cross, you might say, and following him. He said, all the earth is his. Everything that dwells up on the earth is his. All these insects, I said sin brought all that stuff in. We've been bothered with flies ever since Egypt. Anyway, we're going to go to 1 Peter. Let's see what he tells them here. And 1 Peter. What is he telling us in 1 Peter? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 5. We're going to read 1 Peter 2, 5. And he tells us, you know, don't fashion ourselves after the world because he owns it all. Now look at 1 Peter 2 and 5. Let's read that. Ye also, as lively stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now look at 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now you see, most people figure you shouldn't have the Old Testament. We found that right over here in Exodus. He speaks the same thing in Exodus, doesn't he? Right over here in Exodus, we read 1 Peter. We're reading 1 Peter 2, and then in Exodus, he says the same thing. He said, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. You see, that the same God said that over here in the New Testament. He's speaking to us in the Old Testament. He's still speaking to us in the New Testament. He hasn't changed his mind about a holy people. He hasn't changed his mind and said, well, you can sin. It's okay. I know you can't help yourself and can't do no better. He hasn't, no, God hasn't said that. Get rid of the God of the figmentation of your imagination. And let's get the one that is speaking here now. He's Komokodiyasata. He spoke it in Exodus, the 19th chapter. He speaks as in Peter, you are a lively stone, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God has done this for his people. He set a mark upon that which belongs to him. So then he looks at us. We're supposed to be a holy nation. Praise the Lord, a kingdom of priests, royal priesthood, peculiar people, somebody special unto God, and people not going to understand why you're not following after them as they go in the way of Baal and go in the way of sin. They're not going to understand why you are not doing it. They don't understand why you're not doing what they are doing. Because a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, they don't do those things. Their father here, is God. Our commanding chief is God. So then this is what he's made us out of. And we in the New Testament, he still made us out of that. So if you notice, I don't see where he amended his covenant, did he? He spoke this in Old Testament, and guess what? We're over here in 1 Peter, he's still telling us that. He's still telling us that because righteousness belongs to him. Holiness belongs to him. He's a holy God and a righteous God altogether, and he wants his people to be that way. But he tells them, I own. He said, for all the earth is mine. All the earth is his. I don't care what folks are doing, what and how they're doing it. I don't care who said they own whatsoever. Guess what they're going to do? Die and leave it, aren't they? And they can own whatever they said they want to own. But God is not going nowhere. You can't kill him. You can't annihilate him. You can't vote him out of there. He's God. He's the creator of all things. He's the Lord of the universe. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he want a people that knows who he is. He wants a people, as this say, to obey his voice, his spoken word and his written word. He want a people that he can, he going to make them a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a peculiar people, royal priesthood, to show forth the praises of the living God. That's what he wants. And whatever he's got to help you, however he's got to help you, whatever he's got to do for you, that you can be that spiritual house, that holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God will do it. Because this is what he has called us to. He has called us unto this. Didn't you know this is what he has called us unto? He's called us unto this. When you came unto him, you didn't know nothing about him. But he's let you know daily who I am. He let you know daily what he's about. He let you know daily his might and his power. Let's look at Exodus one moment. You see, Almighty God, the sinner, those that don't want him, those that don't need, figure they don't need him, they die. And they're going to wake up in hell one day. But they need him just like every other flesh and blood body need Christ of the Bible. They need him. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need him. Now, I want you to look at Genesis, Exodus 9. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 25 and 26. I need somebody. You need a person like this. Now, to say he's a person, the scripture says he's a spirit. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he still is a person. He's somebody that you know. Hallelujah. You might not be able to just reach out, but you can touch him with your faith. Let's read 26, Exodus 9 and 26. He wants people to truly know who he is. So then those that don't believe, that's not going to stop him. See, we had somebody that didn't believe. Let us read 25, 9 and 26. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Now, how do you do something like that? And Pharaoh, who did he believe? Pharaoh believed that he was God. He sent again for Moses. Now, I'm not going that any farther. Only in the land of Goshen there was no hail. Because who was there in the land of Goshen? Who was there in the land of Goshen? Who was there in the land of Goshen? A spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. To show forth spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people was in the land of Goshen. Therefore, there was no hail in Goshen. But it was in the land of Egypt where the Pharaoh thought that he was God. He figured that he was God. Now, he has God. I'm just to show you a little bit of who he is and what he's about. And when you begin to just believe in your heart who he is, you begin to see him and know him. From the word of God, not from the figmentation of your imagination, not from something false teaching and doctrine these folks put together, because there's all kind of false teaching and doctrine out there today. Not from that. And 50, and Psalms 50, the word of God tells you who he is and what he's about. Now, when he said here, every beast of the forest is mine, he doesn't have to ask nobody nothing. He doesn't have to go to you and ask you about anything. Did you know that? It all belongs to him. Psalms 24 said, earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. Do you dwell in this earth? Now, everybody that dwells in this earth, God owns you. But everybody's not going into his kingdom of heaven. Because, see, the royal priesthood, a lively stone, a royal priesthood, a spiritual house, holy priesthood, hallelujah, chosen generation, peculiar people, that's who's going into his kingdom. You see, you belongs to him. And whatsoever he desired to do, but see, in his word, he is constantly showing us what he wants of us. Take his word and trust in his word. Believe in his word. And not a lot of this false teaching and doctrine you're hearing that is man-made. Because man made it, that don't make who do it. God do it. Because man made it, it doesn't make God do anything. But what his word say, this is what he's going to do. What his word say, this is what he's going to do. I'm going to come back to 50, so don't get rid of it. In the third verse of the 24th chapter of Psalm, he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Now, it all belongs in him, to him. He said, he that has clean hand, underline clean hand. What does clean hand mean? A pure heart, what does a pure heart mean? Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. A pure heart, clean hand, means you're not doing deceitful and dishonest things. A pure heart means that you have a heart of truth, a heart of honesty. That's a pure heart. Now, he's telling us what he wants. We can't offer him up something that he doesn't want. Now, that was tried over there in this old covenant, to offer him up something that was not acceptable. Korah and his sons came before God. He told them, said, don't you drink no liquor. They offered him up some strange stuff that he did not accept. And it didn't go well with them. So he's telling us what he wants and what he's going to accept and what we need to offer up to him. And now, since he's the creator and the owner of everything, when he speaks, the enemy stops. Then we need to know exactly what he wants of us, what he'll accept from us, and what he will not accept. I'm not interested in false teaching and teaching that man has put out there, but what did God's word say? Believe in what his word has spoken and do not take your eyes off of the word of God. Believe exactly in what his word has spoken. His spoken and written word here. He said he shall receive the blessing of from the Lord. He shall receive, you see, God reward holy, righteous living. Do not you know that? He rewards it. He told them when he told Israel over here in Exodus, when he told them in Exodus, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 19th chapter, who he was. He said, all the earth is mine. He said, if you will obey my voice. Are you struggling to obey his voice? He ain't gonna struggle concerning blessings, because he said here, he said in Psalms 24, he says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You see, all he got to do is speak. All he has to do is say it. This is all he has to do. He's told us up there from 2 to 4 what he want of us, how we should be. And he told us in Exodus, over here in Exodus, the same thing, how he want us to be, what he want us to be. He told us in 1 Peter, the second chapter, how we should be, what kind of a people he want. And did you see where he didn't change his mind over in the Old Testament, and he spoke these words, he told them that? And then in the New Testament, in the epistles, he told us the same thing. You don't see where these writers tried to add to God's word, take away from his word. He said he that added to it and he that taketh away, he going to do what with them? Take their name out of the Lamb's book of life. That means you will not inherit eternal life. So by him being God and he's the door, Jesus said, I am the door. All that comes before me are thieves and robbers. And so since Jesus got to let you in there, I'm going to be afraid you're going to be in much trouble. Because this is what he wants. This is what he's telling us. Since he owns it all, he began to create over there in Genesis in the beginning. He began to create in the beginning. Because we are so vulnerable to everything, it gets too hot. We try to find someplace cool. We can't take the heat. Too cold. We try to find heat some way. We can't take that. All this snow come. You run into the stores trying to stock up on food, scared you're going to starve to death. We can't take that. This is a people that was created unto vanity, he says. Vanity means worthless. So come down off of your pride, your high horses, thinking you something when you're not, thinking you got something going for yourself. Pinch your flesh and blood and say, you die too. You do. See, if God doesn't come and heal us, it just you get sick. The doctors be doing what they can do, but God always has the last say, doesn't he? So he always has the last say. He always has to let us know, I'm God. I created this flesh. You didn't. You see, they are flesh like we are. He always has to let them know, I did. I created you. They didn't. Now, they have been trying to create a human. I don't know why. Because it's not given to the creature to create, take a natural dirt and create anything, create something from it, and then breathe the breath of life. See, our breath come from God. They can't breathe the breath of life in you. God is the author of life. They have to breathe the breath of, he has to breathe the breath of life in us. So I often, when I hear them, you know, add something like this, I say, why don't they stop wasting taxpayers' money? Because they can't breathe the breath of life in you. God has to do that. When God speaks, that breath goes back to God from whence this came. See, their breath probably contaminated and everything else. Anyway, so he has told us what he wanted and who he is. He created, and now he told them what he wanted, how we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be, to walk with God, to serve him, to offer up spiritual praises and worship and a service unto a living God from an honest and a truthful heart. This is what he wants us to do. From an honest and a truthful heart is what we're supposed to do. Now, since he said, I know you, he knows the heart. He knows the heart. When over there, when Samuel marched, all of his children, sons, he had about 8 or 9 of them, all of them before God. Now, they coming before Samuel. Samuel didn't know. Samuel just was looking because, see, he said, we see from the outer appearance. God sees the heart. After he marched, I think it was 7 of his sons before God. God said, none of these. Don't you have one more? Somebody said, you got it. He said, I can't leave you until wherever he's at, come. Because God said, no man knows the heart but him. He knows what's in that heart. He knows if that heart going to stand and believe him, going to swear to his own hurt or her own hurt and change not, going to stand in faith, going to have a pure heart and clean hands. He knows all of that, see. So we don't know that. As great a prophet as Samuel was, he did not know, because Samuel was looking at their stature, their height, their look. But God said, I don't want none of them. I know their hearts. See, so God knows our hearts. He knows all about each of us. So when I read all of that, I said, Lord, there's no sense in nobody pretending, being hypocritical or nothing else, because God already know what's in you. Over there, I think it was a John, he said, need not that man should testify of man, for I already know, Jesus said, I already know what's in the heart of man. He already know. He knows what you're going to do from the day you were conceived. He knew you before you were conceived in the womb and upon conception. He knows what you're going to do when you get out of the womb up until the day you leave this earth. He knows all about you. Don't you know he know all about you? We can't hide from him. We can't deceive him. We can't trick him. We can't do any of that. I'm back over here in Psalm 50th chapter and the 10th verse. Here again, he's still showing his ownership of everything. So then it would behoove us to him. It would be help us as Deuteronomy, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, said. I can go back there to Deuteronomy, the 10th verse. For he said, for our good, in the 10th verse, it is for your good to come subject to the will of the Father. Now he said, for every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills is his. And guess who owns the hills? He owns the hills. He says, I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Again, he's telling you he owns everything. He's telling you he owns it all. And that's what, you know, he lets you know. Though that person might own, you look in that Forbes book of all these billionaires and millionaires. I said, this is crazy. They die and leave every bit of it. And don't know what happened to it after they left it. You know, they make out their will. And I said, don't they see they don't own it? Even though they pause it up, they don't even own it. He says, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Sweetie, when Jesus came walking on this earth, when he came walking on this earth and the people rejected him, do you know how humble he is? When he was owning everything. Now, he did make one point to to that high priest. He said, I could call 12,000 legions of angels if that was the will of the Father, but God don't want me to call them. He was letting them know who he is. 12 legions is supposed to be from 20 to 22,000 something in a legion. Do you know how many that is? That's a lot of angels. He was letting him know who he was. But they so caught up in pride and arrogance and lifted up and figured that they were God themselves until they could not see. But Jesus came to die. Lord, help us today. To a fallen man that he had created. To turn their life around. To turn them from the way that they were going. Because eventually, sin catch up with anybody. Eventually, sin takes its toll on the body. Even if you live in holy and godly, all you know how to the Lord God is sin on this earth, and sin brings in sickness and diseases. The enemy, the stuff will still try to attack you. Hallelujah. But eventually sin catches up with anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. And it's going to take its toll on their physical body. Understand now what the Lord is speaking. It's going to take its toll there. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you do what? So you're going to do what? That scared me. I am very careful how I speak, what I say to people even. David said, I will bridle my tongue that I might not sin against thee. I will bridle hold my mouth that I might not sin against you. If you watch and follow your pastor, you're gonna observe. I'm very careful with what come out of my mouth. You see, that law, understand now, all this belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. All of it is at his fingertip to do whatsoever he wants to do. And that law over there in Galatians that speaks that, well, it's in the old covenant too, it's there. I'm just not going to it. So then I said, the reaping part, it's too much for me. The reaping part is too much for me. He's telling you who owns everything. Now, I didn't know, I don't know if God eats or not. It just said, if he were hungry, it doesn't say he gets hungry. I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He says, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Offer unto God thanksgiving. That's why you see me praising and thanking God so much. Praising and thanking God. Pay thy vows. What do you owe to God? He said, give your vows. Whatever vows you're supposed to give him, whatever you owe to God, he said, give to him. Pay these vows that you owe to him. Praise the name of the Lord God. All of his words are fulfilled. Now whenever I look at that, I say, Lord God, if I owe you anything, if it's tithing, if it's time, repentance, or whatever it is, set it right before my face. Because he said, and call up on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Call up on him when there's a problem in your life. Call up on him when you have need of whatsoever. Call up on him when the sickness is there. But see, before he told us that we could do that, he said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High God. I tell him, I don't want to owe you nothing but thanksgiving because I'm supposed to thank you and praise you all the time. I'm supposed to lift up my voice in thanksgiving. My sheer body supposed to give you thanks and praise and glorify you in my sheer body. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I said, but if I owe you time, let me know. I will give you the time I should be given to you. If I owe you money, let me know. I will give you the monies that I owe unto you. If I owe you repentance that I'm supposed to come to you and ask you to forgive me for, I tell him this all the time. Just let me know, Lord. I'm not pride. I'll have no pride, no arrogance. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not froward. Froward again is a form of pride. I don't care. I don't care what people think or say. It doesn't matter. When you get in that category, you don't care. You just want to get it right with God. You just want to please the Lord God of the universe. You need him, hallelujah, because he says clearly, and call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. So then, when you're humbling yourself before him, like what we're doing, seeking his face. So old stinking flesh who want to think that it's something, who wants to go in the way that it wants to go in, who wants to do what it want to do with the devil's what? Help. No, this flesh going to come under the will of the Father. It's going to come under the will of Jesus Christ. It's going to do what the Father wants it to do, and not what it want it to do. Because why? Guess what? You own this earth, and this earth was cursed from the beginning. Hallelujah. And guess who else is on there that loved to give you trouble? Oh, Satan. Hallelujah. I need to be able to call upon him. Do you need to be able to call upon him? Yes. Yes, you need to be able to call upon him. You can call upon flesh and blood all you want to and see what it does for you. See how much help it'll do for you. See how it will deliver you. Forget calling upon flesh and blood. I look at people and I say, no, go to the Father. Go to the Father. Pay your vows to him. Give him what you're supposed to be giving to him. Since we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to offer up sacrifices of praises, that means praise him. It doesn't tell you if you feel like praising, if everything going all right with you, if you're free of the devil's temptation one moment, give him praises and thanksgiving. You've heard me say this before. Don't let nobody tell you to say thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Go to sleep saying, thank you, Jesus. Get up saying, praise you, Jesus. Worship before him. Since he's the only one can say that and call upon me and I will deliver thee. Do you know if anybody else can say that? I don't know if anyone else can say that. If you notice, if you notice in all of these scriptures, he tells the person who he is. Let's look at, I'm going to go back here a moment. He tells us who he is. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will tell us. Now look at Deuteronomy 10 and 14. Let's look at this. He tells us who he is. I was so glad when he opened up mine eyes that I could see what his word was telling me and speaking to me. I was just so happy because then I said, Lord, I can trust you. I know who you are. I can trust you. All I got to do is bring it to you and wait up on you. Don't you know all you got to do is bring it to him? Don't you know all you got to do is keep living holy and sanctified and remain that royal priest and that holy nation? Now look at this. 12, in each one of the scriptures, I haven't gone to the new because he's got it in the New Testament too. He says this, 10:12, let us read. And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that are therein. You see, if you notice how he has this written, all he did is gave this to the prophets of old. They just used their hand. The first 10 commandments, God wrote them with his own fingers. And now you will see this. Some books, for instance, Genesis, Revelation. Some, I mean, it's not Revelation. Some books in here They say they attribute Genesis all the way up to Deuteronomy to Moses. And but you know what they say? Again, as I keep reading the history of it and keep going all the way back and all the way back, they said, we don't know. You know what I say? God knew well what he was doing. He knows well how to write, doesn't he? He knows well how to write, doesn't he? So he knew well what he was doing. And the old prophets, the prophets of old that did write, all they did is put down what God, what? Spoke to them. That's all they did. They didn't add to this Bible. They didn't take away. God just spoke it, and they just wrote it. So now they wanted to kill them. I don't know why they did that. They wanted to kill them, and they did kill some of them. Why? How could you write? How could man do something like this? They couldn't do nothing like that. Flesh and blood don't have that in them. So then he told them that there. You're going to see where he tells us who got it all. But see, we can't be, he have mercy on people. He does have mercy on people. We can't owe him stuff and then have sin in our lives and expect to use the scriptures here and expect them to work for you. Do you understand what the word of the Lord God is saying? He tells us who he is and how he is and what he would do for us. And now, since I believe his word, what you notice and see your pastor doing is what he's telling her to do. Because, see, I truly believe his word. I truly believe everything. Everything, I truly believe everything that the Lord God has said. I don't doubt in my heart or my mind. If you got a little bit of doubt there, a little bit of doubt does what? It leaveneth the whole lump, because all doubt is what? So is sin. So a little bit of that, you can't have a little bit of that there, not with him. You got to believe him implicitly without any hesitation. And when God saved me and got my attention, you might say, see, I come through three doctors giving me up to die. Staying in St. James Hospital probably 60, 70 days. I was up there in St. James Hospital hooked up to all those machines. You see, and they brought in, I'm lying there, and they brought in two people, put them in the room for me, and guess what they did? They died, hooked up to the same machine, and the wires was running out of the same machine that the wires that I was hooked up with, the wires that they were hooked up with, running across it. And I wouldn't know what I'd be looking at sometimes. I said, Miss, the nurse. And they would be laying up in the dead. I said, Miss, why is that line going straight across like that? He said, they knew me, because they knew me by name, Jesse. She's dead. I said, okay. Thank you for telling me that. Understand, it was the will of the Father that didn't take me out. It was the will of the Father. Two of them came in there like that. I looked at them. And there I am still lying there in St. James. And but then, see, when they told me that line, I didn't know what that line meant going straight across like that. I didn't know that. But then I began to know what the line meant. So he saved me alive and said, now, preach my word. And when you see me not caring what people think of me and what they say, it don't matter. Because I already know I would be dead. You couldn't save me alive. You couldn't cause this heart to beat right, and the doctors couldn't either. They tried, but they couldn't either. They worked hard, but they couldn't either. But God, he touched it. God touched it. He touched it, and it's been all right ever since he touched it. When he touched it, he put truth on the inward parts of me. He touched it. He touched it, and he made me whole. He said, now get up and go do what I've told you to do. See, and when I began to read this Bible, I said, Lord, look at this. And see, when he saved me, sent me to church, he sent me to where I could be taught the way. He sent me, the first church I was in was Holy Ghost Deliverance Center. Then he picked me up again because he said, you got to know how to fast and pray, Jesse. He sent me over there. Now, Elder Hudson was doing it, but they didn't do it like Bishop M.C. Bennett did. He put me over there at Bishop M.C. Bennett. It didn't matter to him if he called 21 days, 10 days, back to back. God was teaching and instructing me. He was teaching and instructing me. Flesh has to get out the way. See, he can't do nothing for you with your flesh standing tall. He can't do nothing with you going and doing your own thing. See, because as long as your flesh is standing tall, guess what flesh is going to do? It's going to dictate to you. And guess what you're going to do? Obey it. Obey it. I would be asleep, and I would big, long scrolls would just begin to roll before my eyes. It would drop down from some testimonies I don't tell. And they would begin, the scroll would begin to drop down before my face, and I'd go to read the scriptures, and then it'll roll back up again and go back up into heaven. Do y'all know there's God? Do y'all know there's God? When the scripture that I read, it said, it's for our good. He is real. He is real, and this word is real. And I remember a couple of them clearly. The book of Ezekiel began to roll down before my face. And in the book of Ezekiel, that scripture read as I began to read it. Now, I wasn't in the ministry or nothing then. He said, Jesse, warn that wicked man. And if he turned from his wicked ways, he said his sin will be forgiven. He said, warn that righteous man. If the righteous man turn from his righteousness and turn to sin, then he will die and go to hell. That then I would read that and then it would roll back up again. Some things I just don't say or give to you all. But look at 19 again. He's going to tell you who he is. See? He always going to tell you who he is. See, for me to be able to instruct and teach y'all, I've gone through a lot. Been through a lot to teach his truth. Because I stand on his truth and I don't compromise the word of God. Let us look now again. 9. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 9:4, 5, and 6. This is what he speaks. He's going to tell you about himself. Because, see, we're offering him up unclean sacrifices and offering him up a life that won't obey him. And then we expect to come to him and for him to do thus. You got to stop and realize what his word has said. Let us read. For you have seen what I have done unto the Egyptian. 19:4. You have seen. Exodus, I'm sorry. This is why you see me. I teach you all the word of God, because that's what God brought me through. He didn't bring me through man-made doctrines. He brought me through his word and what his word said. I know just as well when somebody's given man-made doctrine when it's the word of God. Let us read. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptian, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Praise the name of the night. If you notice, he always tells you us what we need to do. And since he owns everything, Exodus 19, I read 4 or 5. I didn't go to 6. Since he owns everything, he's telling you who you got to please, who's got to accept what we do. He's telling us that. So then, since he's telling us what's got to take place, what we have to do, don't you know it would behoove you, and as he said in another scripture, for your good, it was for our good that he was telling us these things. It was definitely for our good, since he owns everything. He owns it all. I look at people that stores up money and stores up money. I said, dear God, I said, they're going to leave it in a few years. Ain't nothing wrong with having a store of money, because you had wealthy folks in the Bible that served God and worshiped God. You had the wealthy in the Bible, they served God and worshiped God. But what God is telling people, your soul is at stake, whether you got money or don't have it. You need to realize you need Jesus Christ. You need the creator of everything. You need the owner of everything. You need him. This is what you need to realize. Each of us need to realize that this is not a figmentation of our imagination. This is not a God that somebody made up. This is a real God that sits in heaven. It had gotten so cold, and said a jet stream had come down. I said, Lord, you're going to lift your jet stream way back up there. That thing, do you know that jet stream is way up high, thousands of miles up high? Do y'all know what the jet stream is? Some of them don't know what that jet stream is. That jet stream is that very, very cold air, and it comes from that way. It comes, what happened to us during that storm, that jet stream came down. Brought in very, very cold air, and it comes from high up. And if God doesn't speak and say, okay, cease, come on back up here to where you at, where I put you to stay, come on back up there, then it'll come on down, and it'll keep covering all parts of the earth. Kathy called me, just what we got here, they got it in Texas. It was covering large, all the parts just about it of the United States. It was covering it. So then, do you understand how vulnerable we are and the mercies that we are? And that's why I can understand why people continue in sin. Because they're so vulnerable. We at his mercy. We need him. We need him so much so. And the price that they are going to pay for sin is their life. For the wages of sin is what? They're going to pay for that with their life. And that don't make sense to me. I'm not paying for anything like that with my life. Anything I'll pay, I'm going to give Jesus. Jesus got this life. I give my life for him. But understand, in 2011, I said, Lord, I plan on receiving what you got for me while I'm on this natural earth, and then eternal life. Then eternal life. I don't plan on staying on this earth. When the shout is made, I'm ready. I said, I'm ready, Lord God. Whatever I got to do, I don't care what I have to do to be ready. I don't care what folk think of me. I plan on being ready, whichever way, when he makes the shout. As some man on television saying it's going to come in 2011, I frankly don't believe that, because God hasn't given a specific time. But each year passed by, the closer you get, you're going to see more things happening. The closer you get, you're going to see more things happening. Stand on your feet. You're going to see more and more things happening. The closer time get to him to come, you're going to see more things that has not happened. That happening. You're going to see more devastating conditions taking place, because you're getting closer to the time for Jesus to come. We're getting closer to the time for Jesus to come. So consequently, I pray, I pray for souls that you would turn their hearts completely to you. that their souls would not be hung up and tied up in this world stuff, and this stuff out here in this world that's going to perish. It's all going to perish. It's not going to be able to stand, but that their souls would be tied up in the Lord of the universe, in the God of the universe, that your soul would be tied up in that. Everything on this earth that was not made by God, guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to be destroyed. Everything on it. So it will perish. Now, he created marriage, but that's going to end too in heaven. And when he set up that throne in heaven, there will be no marriages and no giving in marriage. There will be none of that stuff. Marriage was primarily for procreation. So since he won't need to replenish nothing anymore, he won't need that. But he's real, and I've been teaching you all who he is, who owns it all, who got it all. If you please the one that owns it all, and he accepts your life and what you've given to him and your praises and your thanksgiving and your sacrificial offices are offered to him and all that you're doing for him, he will reward you for that. He does reward a holy, godly, righteous, obedient life to him. He does rewards that. Don't you know that? You don't look for people to reward you. You don't look for them because, see, they're hypocritical with what they do. You don't look for that. But God, in his imminent mercy, he comes in and he will reward you. Even in your old age, he will reward you. For an obedient, humble life to him, he will reward. Don't you know that? And if you're young and giving your life to him and your strength, because he said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. When you got all of your strength, remember him. When you get old and dilapidated and everything in you about ain't working, and you gonna live your life for him then because you ain't got nothing working? He wants you in your strength. He wants you in your strength. You look at him, you're going to come to him and can't do nothing for yourself. And, well, I can't do nothing. I guess I'll get saved now. What make you think he's going to accept you then? What make you think he's going to do that? Y'all better think again. Get rid of that God of the figmentation of your imagination. Get a hold to the God of the Bible that wants you to come to him in your strength. When you got strength to outrun your pastor, I can run now. But see, you being young, I'm sure enough, you'll spring out much further ahead of me. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And run much longer than I. But I can run. Remember him while you in your youth, while you got strength, while you can do something for him. See, remember him in your youth, in your strength. All this reason fasting would bother you. Now, it's God, you know, he restored me. He had mercy upon me. He the one got me doing this. See, I wouldn't dare attempt to do nothing like this and fast in the flesh, what I do in the flesh. Ooh, no, I wouldn't make it. But you see these young people standing here, they can do it, but they don't want to do it. They can. They got strength. They got strength and they young. See, but they don't want to do it. They want to keep on eating so their flesh can be pacified. They want to keep on eating so the flesh can keep on having its way. But anyway, how many of you believe, let me see your hand, that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everything that belongs in it. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe without any doubt in your heart that he is the creator and owner of everything? How many of you still having problems with obeying God? Don't raise your hand. Because, see, that's a big problem. If you got that problem with obeying him, that's a problem that unless you get it together, that particular problem will send you into hell. So you believe that. Now, I firmly believe. See, that's what stops me. That stops Jesse. I firmly believe. So that stops me from sinning, not saying I haven't made a mistake or something, but willingly doing it, that I firmly believe that he exists and that he's real and that he's God and got all power in his hand. I firmly believe that. And when you begin to firmly, unshakable, believe who he is, and I understand, I tried to tell people this before, every sin, there's a punishment. Not one little sin gets by. I want you to understand this, that. God forgives, and God has mercy. But see, since his law is there, you'll hear folks teaching you that, because the teacher now sin as much as you want to sin. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. You still going into his kingdom, the biggest lie ever told. That's the biggest lie. That's not what the Bible teach. The Bible doesn't teach it. According to the word of God, when you break any one of his laws, the punishment for that is death. So understand that. So Jesus came on the scene. Jesus came on the scene so that we could get forgiveness. And that he would forgive us and have mercy. But still, when he forgives, that punishment for it and that consequent of it is not lifted. So this is what you got to understand about him, irregardless of it. And what he does, see, when he forgives, that's why you see over there in several scriptures I've read to you all before, when he forgives, he heals. As long as this stuff is before his face, he doesn't forgive. He sees it. And so that's why you're going to see one scripture over there say he puts our sin as far as the east is from the west, and two never do come together. Understand? When he forgives us, your sin is put away from him. So when he look at you, he does not see that, but he sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, if there's sin there, he will not see the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That on this way, see, you have to get rid of that through confessing and repenting. That's why when we started our fasting and our denial, I said, we're not asking nothing. We just going to confess sin, confess sin. Because as long as he sees that, you're going to have problems. But confessing and repenting until we know, Lord, you've heard our prayers. You've heard our confession. You've heard us. And he forgives. He puts it away from him where he no longer sees it. See, I don't pay no attention to what these folks teach, this false stuff they teach, because I go by the word of God. He puts it away. He doesn't see it. But he sees his son Jesus' blood. That's what he sees. You don't want to keep carrying stuff unrepented for, and you don't want to keep going back to the same old trash and filth over and over again. You don't want to keep doing that. Temptation is going to come your way. Temptation comes your way. Don't y'all know temptation going to come your way? When he wants to ensnare a man, he use a woman, and he use sex. When he wants to ensnare the woman, the devil, he use, when he wants to ensnare a man, he use a woman, he use sex. When he wants to ensnare that woman, he use a man, and he use sex. You don't have to yield to his temptation. Now, there's all forms of temptation out there. Greed is running rampant. Sex has become a god. He brings me temptation. At my age, he brings it. I have a neighbor that he over there living with it, this constantly trying to get out. I said, Lord, do something for this man. I ain't interested in him, not a little bit. Constantly trying to get to my house or get to me. I said, I'm not interested in him, not even a little bit. I'm not that. I'm not interested in that man, not a little bit. Sex is not my God. Jesus is my God. Your mind got to be made up that. See, they made a God out of that. Position, money, title, yourself, your possession. Other folk, they made a god out of it. If people don't have a man or a woman, they figure something's going to happen to them. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? Jesus had neither one. What's going to happen to you? They figure something's going to happen to them. See the gods that you got in your life today. The gods. They got all kind of gods, see. We can't believe that he is God, and then you have all these other gods before him. You got all these other gods before him. We have to put away every god. Every god that you got to put him away, because every time when he look at you, he's not seeing the blood of Jesus with these gods. See, when he see us, because the price he paid, he's got to see the blood of Jesus there. He's got to see the blood of Jesus there. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little bitter children, we in a messed up condition. As I was telling y'all before, at Teaching California, what she did, little bitter children. Indeed, that was a seven-year-old group of children. Don't y'all realize the day that we're in? Don't y'all know? Put away the gods, he said, from among you. Whatever sin in your life that you can't give up and you want to hold on to, it's a god that you can't stop and you can't let it go. You got a god. Temptation is all around on this earth. Every which way, all kind of temptation to lie, to cheat, to steal, to connive, to be disobedient, unfaithful. All kind of temptation is around. But it's up to you to stand on the word of God and realize God says he will keep you from falling. He said, I will keep you from falling. If you want to be kept from falling, he will keep you from falling. Did you know that? But you got to you got to want it. You've got to want it. Every eye closed. Don't take it no further. See, you're gonna have some dire problems of not entering into the kingdom of God. Don't take it any further. Always remember this, no sin gonna enter in, and he's not gonna clean nobody up after they get there. Whatever God you got in your life, you're gonna stay with that God, and that God you got in your life is going to the lake of fire. So then, don't go any further in 2011 with that stuff in your life. Fasting and praying help get the flesh under subjection. Fasting and praying, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what helped get the flesh out of the way. So the spiritual person can come alive. It helped get it out of the way. And this is why we need to do it. And everybody that call on the name of Jesus needs to do it. It helps get the flesh out of the way. See, flesh and blood is enmity against God. That's what the scriptures say. It cannot please God. You cannot please him in the flesh. As long as you walk in the flesh, you can't please him. So now we humble ourselves before him, seeking him, turning the plate away, the food away, the good drink away, so it can suffer and get out of the way. So the spiritual person can be fed and nourished by God. So whatever in your life that is going to keep you out of his kingdom, and don't think you can take it with him. What he calls sin in the Bible is sin. Always remember that. It's sin. Man cannot change the laws of God and get anybody into God's kingdom. We can't go before him and say, this one said that one. What did my word say? So then I'm giving you all the opportunity to talk with him. Talk with him. You want to inherit eternal life. Talk with him. Whatever it takes for you, it don't take a lot. It just takes a surrendered life to Christ. When the life is truly, truly surrendered to Christ, do you know you don't want those things? You don't even want a lot of all this stuff. It's not going to even faze you. You don't even want it. You don't even want it. Whatever I got to do for my soul to be saved. And always remember, there's no shortcuts. There's a whole bunch of Israel thought there were some shortcuts. But there is none. Oh, gracious God the Father, you've told us who you are, what you are about. You've told us what you want of us. And how you want us to be. Now, God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we come before you, we enter the 36th day of the denial. We've been fasting for 3 days, dear God. And then we fasted for 7. Now, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as each one come before you, you know each one's heart. You know what we're going to do before we do it, the way we're going to go before we go. You know all about us. Now, in Jesus' name, nothing going to help us but straight out confessing and repenting and turning from it and presenting our body a living sacrifice unto you, and that a holy body is what you want. A holy body is not joined to no kind of idols. No kind of idol. Well, they are human idols, other kind of idols. A holy body is not joined to them, but a holy body is presented to the Lord our God. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as each one come to you confessing from the heart, dear God, from the soul, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will forgive. Confessing from the heart and confessing from the soul, Lord God, you will forgive. You're merciful, Lord. You're merciful, God. You've told us if we obey you, obey your voice, keep your commandment, love you with all of our heart and soul, you told us what you would do for us. You told us the blessings would be in our home, in our house, wherever we are at, even the job that we would be on would be blessed because you got a person there, saved, sanctified, holy, honest, truthful person there living a godly life before people. You would even there, all the blessings would even be there, dear God. Now, in Jesus' name, the blessing, dear God, you bless their bodies. They're incoming and they're going out. You told them that. And those blessings are for us today. You would bless their getting up and their going down. You would bless their storehouse, their homes, their finances, their monies, and all of that would be blessed, oh God. You would increase them, oh God, spiritually, dear God, naturally. So